Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking art with Trina Erickson of the Scarab Club Gallery in Detroit, Michigan, about the Carol Morisseau exhibit. As an added treat, we also have Carol Morisseau. I rarely talk to the artists, but when the opportunity arose, I couldn't resist. We're still in the process of lining up sponsors for Let's Talk Art with Brooke, but in the meantime, if you'd like to support the podcast, please look for my book, Reptiles on Caffeine, on Amazon. Enjoy the podcast.
Okay.
So how are you guys doing? I'm talking to Carol and Trina from the Scarab Club in Detroit, Michigan. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Awesome.
Working hard.
Yeah.
We've read 2 new exhibitions.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Sounds like a lot of work. A lot of walking anyway.
Yeah, and up and down stairs. Really tall stairs, too.
Yeah.
Because our buildings here, our ceilings are greater than 8 feet tall. They're more like probably 10.
Uh-huh.
10 to 12 feet, yeah. So each flight is like going up a flight and a half.
Wow.
In a building. You got to work out.
That's quite a workout.
But it's a historic building. It's beautiful. It's over 100 years old. And it's just such an honor to be here and have a studio here and just feast off of the energy that's in this place. It's just incredible.
Right, right. Yeah, so it sounds like there'd be a lot of energy there if it's 100 years old. That's,
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
it's quite a landmark.
A lot of creative force. Yeah, we have 2 floors of gallery space. Carol has a studio, one of the 6 studios on the 3rd floor. And in the lower level, we have sketch sessions. And over the years, they've had, like a print shop. There was a bar down there during Prohibition. There was a... But, yeah, we're right in the middle of the Cultural Center in Detroit, in Detroit Midtown.
Uh-huh.
We're across from the Detroit Institute of Art.
Uh-huh.
We're from the Science Center, the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History. So it's a beautiful area.
Yeah.
The place to be located in.
Very lively.
Right in the thick of things, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So, Carol, I was looking at your works online, and they're just exquisite.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm glad you had an opportunity to look at it. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. Well, I was saying you have a lot of portraits, and I was wondering if that's intentional.
No, it's not. It's funny. The human figure, I just love the human figure. Mm-hmm. I think I can really express it well, and it speaks to me, and therefore the portraits are an outgrowth of that.
Right.
But I like to think of my work, my portraits, not just being portraits, but I like to think of them as really being iconic figures that are more representative of a group or a society.
Right.
So that's what I try to express, so that the people that I see and if they read that to me, that's what I try to deliver in the painting.
Cool. And I read that you are a dancer, that you founded the Detroit Dance Company.
Yes, I was founder and artistic director. I did that for 35 years.
Wow.
At the same time, painting. I've always painted and danced mm-hmm. my entire life.
Yeah.
And as the apex of having a company, we were really the quintessential dance company in the area.
Uh-huh.
At that time, so the company did really very well at representing this area, I think.
Cool. Well, I was real excited to read that because I'm a dancer. I was a dancer.
Oh, really?
Okay. Not anymore, but I did in high school.
Yeah, me either.
So you don't do it anymore?
My company was primarily a modern company, but we were heavily based in ballet technique.
Mm-hmm.
But we studied, ballet technique.
Right.
African folklore, dance technique, jazz, modern. We studied, really parallel. We studied all of those techniques all at the same time. So the choreography kind of reflected that.
Right.
But I think most strongly the ballet. What was your
your dance field? What did you kind of dance?
Ballet. I did a foray into tap and jazz, but I was mostly ballet. But
we weren't really very serious.
Yeah, I think with all dance, ballet has to be the foundation.
I believe so too. It does. It gives you a very strong foundation. It gives you the freedom. The technique gives you the freedom to do other things, to do the things that you want to do, and enhance those and performance enhances it.
Right. And I just remember, like, when I was doing the tap and jazz when I was really young, and I remember people didn't like the ballet because there wasn't such an emphasis on it, and it was just kind of boring. But I was just like, we really need to do this because this is kind of the basis for everything.
That's true.
But, go ahead.
The company, we always recognize at my studio the importance of ballet, and everyone was really, well, of course, as they were studying, they were really very motivated and sounded very, very inspiring to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't share that opinion in the dance school and the dance company or the dance community.
Mm-hmm.
I think really recognized the importance of ballet.
Right. Well, that's awesome. I was so excited to read that you did that, that you're the artistic director. So yeah, how do you think that...
Just as many people here that now, at this day, that know me for ballet or dance as know me for my art.
For art, so, wow.
It's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
Mind if I ask Carol a question?
Absolutely.
I'm really curious about it.
Absolutely.
I'd like to know how your background in dance informs you as a visual artist, as a painter.
Well, I think all the arts are really related, and you have to go through the same process in the art. You have to go through a period of searching, a period of realizing what it is that you want to do, a period of, what's the word? And you have to go through a process for dance as well as you do for art. So they're so related like that. And then in the performance of dance, I think equates to the exhibition of the artist. It's like this is a show.
Interesting, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So you go through this thing. I think for me personally, the art is more satisfying and less stressful because
right.
the performance really just kind of pulling everything together and putting it up. In the performance art, you have the performance, and anything can go. You are so dependent upon other things, upon the technique, upon the lighting, upon whether people are feeling better or feeling worse for that particular performance, at that particular moment. Is that another dancer who's supposed to be do a lift, is he going to be right there where he's supposed to be?
Right, exactly. Is he going to drop me?
And you know, you've got your lighting and your sound and your tech people and just all of those elements, I think, contribute to the anxiety
right.
that is in performance art. Well, in visual art, you have that anxiety, but you have it more when you face that empty canvas. And once that canvas gets filled, or in the process of filling it, those feelings dissipate more.
Mm.
So that's what I enjoy about visual art,
right.
about painting.
Yeah.
So I hope that's your question.
I think that's great. I get what you're saying though, because I think dance is a bit more ephemeral.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's there and it's gone. And so, yeah. I mean, if the dance goes sideways, it's not like an oil painting you can just wipe it off.
Right.
And you can't just say to the audience, excuse me,
yeah.
Never mind. I always think that any type of, any art form, I have such admiration for artists because I feel that it's really an act of bravery because every time, no matter what no matter whether you're dancing or whether you're painting or whether you're writing, you are putting a little piece of yourself out there to be judged.
Exactly.
And some people will get it and sometimes...
I think Trina...
Oh,
No, I was just to say that I'm an artist myself, but I work with artists primarily, and I'm always very, very aware of the fact that making art is an act of bravery, because you're putting a little piece of yourself out there to be judged.
Right.
Every time.
Right.
And there's a wonderful Lawrence Ferlinghetti poem about that. I wish I could think of the name of it. Constantly Risking Absurdity, that's what it's called. But it's the most perfect poem. Google it. It's fantastic. And it's about what it's like to be an artist. And you're constantly, you're on the high wire. And now you have to do these sort of
balancing.
Yeah, and it says in here because you're high above the audience, you know what I mean? And so they're viewing this all, but you're the one that's taking the chance. Mm-hmm. You're the one that's up there. So, I don't know, I just found that really interesting. And just in general, I think it's a wonderful thing to be an artist.
Right.
And it's all related too. When you were saying, Carol, about the relationship between dancing and visual arts, too, I think people have a tendency of thinking that you have a talent for it, like you're born with a talent for dancing or for painting or whatever. And I think sometimes they forget that in all those things, so much of it is just a practice mm-hmm. of kind of being there and putting in the hours to become expert at what you're doing, too.
Well, and I think there's also a mindset, too.
Right.
I think if you're a creative person, you no matter what your creativity, whatever the line of creativity is or the specialty, you still have that part of that brain that is active and thinks, I think, and hopefully on a higher plane than most people.
Right, yeah.
Creativity, anyway. So if that's already in place, then I think that's another, relationship.
Right.
Yeah, so you're doing it from that standpoint. When you're looking at things, you're imagining the picture plane of where the...
Right, right.
What are like? Are you just dancing in the streets? What are you doing?
Well, you mean as a dancer,
yeah.
or an artist?
As a dancer.
Oh, as a dancer, it's really dangerous because you can. I remember I'm driving and music comes on. Doesn't even end up beating you in the head and I'm starting to dance and kind of drive. It's very distracting.
Mm-hmm.
But if that creative speed is there, it just has got to express itself no matter what you're doing or where you are, so,
Right. Well, I have a question for both of you, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Since you're an artist as well, how do you guys both overcome the fear of, like, putting yourself out there and maybe risking that people might not like what you're presenting, what you're putting out there?
Well, me personally, I have no fear at all.
That's awesome.
some of my colleagues have said that, girl, you're not afraid of anything, are you? and I'm really not. I'm not afraid to take this. Maybe it's the dance background,
mm-hmm.
Coming forward at that point in time.
Right.
But also at this point in time in my life, I just feel like I am what I am, and I have to paint what I paint.
Right.
And if you like it, that is just wonderful. If you don't like it, I really don't care.
Yeah.
I can't buy into what you think I should be painting or what you want me to paint or what you think I should be painting. I know what I should be painting, and in all due time, I'm going to hopefully get to it all. It's all inside of me.
Right. Right. Right.
And the thing is, to get it out.
Definitely.
I had been very concerned about, getting this prize or getting that prize or winning this purchase or that purchase. And I don't care now anymore. I just want to paint what I want to paint.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I have to determine what I'm going to paint or how I'm going to paint determined by what someone else or some group of people think and are going going to sit in judgment of me, then I really don't care. I'd rather just go ahead and just say, well, you know, you go ahead, you guys go ahead and figure out what you want to do. I'm going to judge that, but I'm going to do this all this year.
Awesome.
And hopefully, you know, it would be wonderful if they do, quote, like it or award it or whatever, but that's not my goal now. Maybe it comes with age.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say how old I am. Don't you dare ask.
I won't. You're 21, right?
When you have arrived at a certain age, let's say, I think those things become less important to you.
Yes.
The importance for me is the art and for me to make my statement. And I think I'm doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel satiated in that when I paint, I'm satisfied with what I see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always, you know, you always want to go back. No painting is ever finished. Every painting that I'm looking at it here in the gallery that I have done, I could say, oh, I want to go back and I want to see that.
Right.
So I'm still constantly judging myself. I guess I'm probably my own worst critic.
Mm-hmm.
And I prefer it that way.
Yeah, you're not comparing yourself to others. You're
right, I'm not. I can't. You know?
I think that's part of it, too, because I see, you know, I deal with a lot of artists from all ranges, from students to experienced artists who are, you know, really kind of the, have developed a practice and a reputation in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting for me to see how, with many of the younger artists, you see, and I think this was true of everyone, Carol, it was probably true of you, I know it was true of me, where you kind of, when you're first finding yourself as an artist, you do work that looks like this artist and that artist, and then you become enamored of this artist, and your work reflects that, and then after a while you find your own voice.
Mm-hmm. And that's the same in dance, also.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
But I guess, yeah, when you think of it, that's what we do in everything we do. When you're learning to walk, you do the same thing, you know?
Everyone has to have a teacher. Even Einstein had a teacher.
Yeah.
And that learning, that he, you know, he had to mimic some things that were done or said or thoughts that were thought. You know, you have to wear that person's thoughts or posts for, I guess what you would have to call an internship, being a journeyman, before you really find yourself.
Right.
Yeah. And then some people, they get stuck in one of those things and they never escape it, or they're too timid to find their own voice, or it's a good thing as an artist to be fearless, to try things.
Yeah.
There's an artist in Detroit, Brooke, Charles McGee, who is one of my favorite people in the whole world. He's 91 or 92 now.
He's my teacher.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and he is really kind of the godfather of artists in Detroit. I feel he's been around for a long time. He had a studio, he had a school, he had all the stuff. He's fantastic. But I used to tease him that he's kind of like the Neil Young of visual arts, because he keeps doing work. If people get it, they get it. If they don't get it, they don't get it. And he just goes by what moves him and what interests him and whatever the process is. And he's been doing it so long that nearly everything is successful, but he doesn't have a problem if it's not successful. Even if he isn't pleased with what it turns out, you know, I went to see him when he was in the hospital a few years ago, and he was just chomping at the bit, and he was drawing while he was in there, and he said that, you know, for him at this point in his life, time is a real motivator because there's so much more that he wants to get out. And I think that's what you see across the board with artists. Well, in general, I feel like I'm 60. I don't mind saying what age I am. And I just feel like it's time to get on with it, because you think, you tell yourself all your life that you'll get to this or you'll get to that when you have the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's only occurred to me in the last couple of years that I don't have the time not to do it. I used to tell myself, I don't have the time to do it.
Right.
The crazy, crazy thing is, I've never painted less than I have since I have been the gallery director at the Scarab Club.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't have time for it. And I tell myself, you know, I got to make time for it. Once I get this done, I'll do it. Once I get that done. But I don't every day paint. So I'm really trying to make an effort to do that, because it really has occurred to me that I don't have the time not to do it
Yeah.
anymore.
Yeah. That's an interesting insight.
Time is running out. You're a grown up.
Exactly. No, I think that's great. I think that's really great. So
I have to say, I'm not as brave as an artist as Carol. What I've found since I haven't been painting all the time, since my birthday last year, I decided, man, I have got to get on with this. I got to paint every day, even if it's for 15 minutes. I've got to do something. I haven't met that goal, but I'm doing it much better. But the frustrating thing for me is, and this is the difference between talent and practice. I know I have talent. I would have an idea in my head, and I couldn't get it on paper the way that I wanted it to be. Right. You know what I mean? And I found that really, really frustrating. But what I really found encouraging is the fact that even from one day to the next, it all comes back because it's still in there. If you haven't done it for a while, you are rusty, but it does come back.
Right.
Or I'm always amazed at the fact that people think, oh, I can draw a stick figure. That's one of the things I absolutely love about, and Carol's very involved with the sketch sessions at the Scarab Club. And we have all range of people, from people who have no art background. They literally say when they start that they can only draw basically stick figures. It's very, very rudimentary.
Right.
And it's not an optional, these sessions. It's just an opportunity to draw from a live model. But over the years, don't you feel, Carol, so many of the artists down there, you see the difference between where they started. And every year we have an exhibition of the sketch artists. But people don't realize that just because you weren't born with tremendous talent, you can't be a decent artist. You know?
Right, you can't learn.
But it's just anything you give your time to.
I think one of the most important things that you said in that whole statement also was that even if you don't have time, you know, even if you only have like 10 minutes to do something or 5 minutes even, I think that's really, really important to do that.
Right.
Even if it's only for 5 minutes, because it just awakens the whole area. And maybe when you do that 5 or 10 minute sketch or paint that one little corner on the canvas, when you come back the next day and look at it, you assess it. Oh, I needed to do this and that, and so you still grow from that.
That's true. And you just, and you have to claim that for yourself.
Right.
And I think, and especially as women, I think that women tend to think that they'll get to it when everyone else is taken care of.
Yeah.
And so that is something that I really decided last year. I have to claim that for myself, because it's amazing how insidious it is that the things that mean most to you slowly get marginalized. They get pushed back by other obligations until you feel like your whole life is an obligation, and the things that really give bring joy to your life aren't there anymore.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Right. Right. And also, I mean, it's just a lot of the time it's just a matter of just doing it. And, you know, and you yeah. I mean, just mm-hmm. you'll probably, you may like it, you may not, but yeah. you just do it and you get experience doing it and you get better at it. So, I mean, that's usually what it's a matter of for me, because I'm lazy and I overthink things and I'm just like, oh, I shouldn't do that because that won't work. That won't work the way I want. And if you get caught up in those thoughts, you'll never do it.
Yeah, that's true. And the other thing is, you don't have to. Every star doesn't have to align for you to do whatever it is that you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
The guy my husband used to work with, who was from Ireland, he said in passing to me one day, he said, "What is it about Americans that you feel like if you're going to run, you can't just walk out the door and run? Mm-hmm. You have to have the right shoes, you have to have the right clothes, you have to get in your car and drive somewhere." We find all sorts of ways to distract ourselves from getting on to the work of what we're doing.
Right.
And then our is like, oh, I'd love to do it, but no, I really need another, I need a different brush for that.
Exactly.
But that's why what I did is, because I was an oil painter, but I decided getting back into drawing, I would draw from time to time every few months, but when you're not doing it all the time, you get to the point where when I was kind of scared because I couldn't make what was in my mind, I couldn't realize that on paper in the way that I wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I started thinking, God, what if I don't know how to do this anymore? What if I never can do this again?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You start questioning yourself.
Right.
And then you realize, you just have to, you're right, you just have to do it. You have to keep at it. And then, so what I decided to do is, you know what, I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to go back. Like, forget oil painting for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go back to just using charcoal or just using a pencil and doing contour drawing and doing all these things, like the basics of things. And then it does kind of just trigger something in you, some sort of memory that's in there from forever. Because
mm-hmm.
I started this when I was a kid. And it is a wonderful feeling. Even if you can't get everything exactly how you want it, when you get that one perfect, like the curve of someone's back.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you get a branch just perfect, or if you don't get whatever it is, when you get that sort of sweet spot, it's just an absolutely wonderful feeling.
Absolutely. So, yeah, yeah.
But to work and work and work and work and work to find it.
Yeah.
That's, I think, part of the pleasure also of being an artist.
Exactly.
But like I said, when you finally do find that correct curve,
mm-hmm.
it's just so satisfying to step back and look and say, yeah,
that's totally. It. Totally, yeah, yeah.
And in general, too, you see kids that have such a joy of drawing and painting. And
we take the joy out of it.
Then they reach the point where suddenly they start judging themselves and comparing themselves, where it's doing it with a pure joy of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a whole other conversation that we get about it. I think that it's like that whole idea of, and really you could apply that for,
yeah.
you know, beyond art,
yeah.
anything educational,
yeah.
but it's the joy of discovery
mm-hmm.
and the joy of just learning for the sake of learning
Absolutely.
And experiencing, making a mark and not judging yourself harshly and not judging yourself against other people.
Totally.
How do we get that? That's a good question. How do you get back to the point where you... I mean, now I feel getting old has given me... I don't care anymore. I say what's true, and I try to, in whatever I'm doing, whether my art practice or my life in general, I just try to be true and direct and I'm conscious of time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have patience for people who aren't direct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
<You know? laughs> Life is so much more simple when everyone else and everybody just does what they think. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I agree. So, well, guys, this has been great. Do you have anything you want to promote? How long is this exhibit going on?
It's up until May 14th.
May 14th?
It opens this Friday on the 8th.
Cool.
Yes, that's right, 5 to 8 p.m. And Carol will be signing your book.
Awesome. Yes.
And the book is available on Amazon.com.
Cool. And what's it called again?
It's called Painting and Drawing by Carol Morizo.
Oh, fantastic.
Painting and Drawing was by Carol Morizo.
Awesome. Very
and
cool.
And I wish you could see, Brooke, I wish you could see the lounge gallery right now, because all of Carol's work is just leaning up against the wall. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take some pictures from it now, uh-huh. and then I'll take some shows installed. And you can see the difference.
Awesome. Cool. I'd love that. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, thank you guys so much for being on Let's Talk Art. Hang on one second. Let me just turn this off. Thank you so much, Trina Erickson and Carol Morizo, for telling us about the Carol Morizo Paintings and Drawings exhibit. And thank you to you for listening. I know I had a lot of fun, and I learned a lot. If you're in the Detroit area, check out the Scarab Club, because they've got a lot of stuff going on, and you want to visit Trina and Carol. If you're interested in having us promote your product or service, if you have a comment, or if you have ideas for future podcasts, or would like to be on the show yourself, please contact me at arttalkwithbrooke@gmail.com. That's Brooke with an E and all one word. Thanks.